Chapter 3, A Call from the Colored Race.
The Lord has looked with sadness upon that most pitiful of all sights, the colored race, in slavery. He desires us in our work for them to remember their providential deliverance from slavery, their common relationship to us by creation and by redemption, and their right to the blessings of freedom. Some time ago, I seemed to be, during the night season, in a meeting in which the work in the southern field was being discussed. The questions were asked by a company of intelligent colored people. Has God no message for the colored people of the South? Have they no souls to save? Does not the new covenant include them? If the Lord is soon to come, is it not time that something was done for the southern field? We do not, it was said, question the need of missions in foreign lands, but we do question the right of those who claim to have present truth to pass by millions of human beings in their own country, many of whom are as ignorant as the heathen. Why is it that so little is done for the colored people of the South, many of whom are ignorant and destitute and need to be taught that Christ is their Creator and Redeemer? How can they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can one preach except he be sent? We lay this matter before those who profess to believe the truth for this time. What are you doing for the unenlightened colored race? Why have you not a deeper sense of the necessities of the southern field? Does there not rest upon ministers of the gospel the responsibility of setting in operation plans whereby this people can be educated? Does not the commission of the Savior teach this? Is it right for professing Christians to hold themselves aloof from this work, allowing a few to carry the burden? In all your plans for medical missionary work and foreign missionary work, has God given you no message for us? Then he who has authority arose and called upon all to give heed to the instruction that the Lord has given in regard to the work in the South. He said, much more evangelistic work should be done in the South. There should be 100 workers where now there is but one. Let the people of God awake. Think you that the Lord will bless those who have felt no burden for this work and who permit the way of its advancement to be hedged up? As these words were spoken, deep feeling was manifested. Some offered themselves as missionaries, while others sat in silence, apparently taking no interest in the subject. Then the words were spoken. The South is a most unpromising field, but how changed would it be from what it is now if, after the colored people had been released from slavery, men and women had worked for them as Christians ought to work, teaching them how to care for themselves. The condition of the colored people in the South is no more disheartening than was the condition of the world when Christ left heaven to come to its aid. He saw humanity sunken in wretchedness and sinfulness. He knew that men and women were depraved and degraded, and that they cherished the most loathsome vices. Angels marveled that Christ should undertake what seemed to them a hopeless task. They marveled that God could tolerate a race so sinful. They could see no room for love. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See John 3:16. Christ came to this earth with a message of mercy and forgiveness. He laid the foundation for a religion by which Jew and Gentile, black and white, free and bond, are linked together in one common brotherhood, recognized as equal in the sight of God. The Savior has a boundless love for every human being. In each one he sees capacity for improvement. With divine energy and hope, he greets those for whom he has given his life. In his strength, David can live a life rich in good works, filled with the power of the Spirit.